Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Saturday, November the 13th. We're going to look back at a few stories this week. It's pretty amazing week in the United States. And I think the one biggest story of the week for me is the total collapse of that Russia story that we were hearing about for 3 years. Remember collusion in Russia and all these investigations. But not just the collapse of that story, but the collapse of so many media narratives. And I have a post about this coming out Sunday morning, but I'm going to link to an article by Andrew Sullivan in my post. And I'm going to recommend that you read that article completely, because Andrew Sullivan, who's, by the way, he's not a conservative. I mean, he's been a writer for a long time, and, you know, I've agreed and disagreed with him over the years, but he's certainly not a Trump supporter. In fact, I know he's not. He's been very tough critic of President Trump. And yet he writes really an article that every American should read. And everybody wanting to get into journalism should also read. He talks about all these media narratives that have completely collapsed over the last few years. He's got a long list of them, and I'm going to make note of a couple of them just so that you know what I'm talking about. I'm sure you remember that story. I guess it was about 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, when a young black woman accused a couple of young white men. I believe it was at the University of Virginia. The two young white men were members of the one of the sports teams. I don't remember which one. But the young black woman accused them, and the media immediately ran to the side of the black young woman and just crucified these two white young men. And then the whole thing turned out to be a lie. The woman was lying, and yet these two young men, their lives, their names are all over the internet as a couple of guys who were, you know, abusing a young woman. You remember the one many years ago, this happened during the Obama administration, Hands Up, Don't Shoot, the incident with Michael Brown and the police officer outside of St. Louis. Hands Up, Don't Shoot. Well, the problem is that didn't never happen. Again, that never happened, and yet that became not only a media narrative, but you had players in the NBA wearing jerseys that said hands down, don't shoot, or whatever. And then, of course, here more recently, the Hunter laptop, which is, you know, has turned to be Hunter Biden laptop, which has turned into a disaster. You remember a couple of years ago that young man from Covington High School, who was in Washington, D.C. He was there for the pro-life march that happens every year in Washington. He was there with a bunch of his high school classmates. And, you know, he was the one wearing that hat, the red hat, who got into apparently a discussion with a Native American. Well, the media jumped all over this young white man as the symbol of racism and so on and so on. Well, it turned out the whole thing was false. The whole story was false, and some of these networks like CNN and some of the others had to settle out of, because they were going to get nailed with a massive lawsuit. You remember the story during the election about bounties on U.S. soldiers, how the Trump administration had apparently not paid any attention to the idea that there were bounties on U.S. soldiers. Well, that turned out to be false. That whole story turned out to be false. And then, of course, you go back to 2020 and the narrative of peaceful protest and police brutality that we were watching every night. And, of course, that was not the case at all. And this whole sequence of media narratives, where the media picks up a story and goes on with a narrative, and then it turns out to be false. You remember the story of that fellow, I think Smollett was his name, who said he was attacked by a couple of guys at 3 o'clock in the morning in Chicago who were wearing MAGA hats. The whole thing turned out to be false, completely, completely false. And then, of course, the Russia hoax, who we know now, started out as a investigation based on a document that was completely political, a document that was presented to, it was, I guess, put out in the media. And with that document, a false document, they went to FISA, to the FISA courts, and they were able to get search warrants on a couple of people in the Trump campaign. And then this became the whole idea of collusion and the Trump campaign. That whole story, of course, has been completely devastated by the truth. But all of this over, you know, I'm going to say 5 or 6 years, and especially during the Trump years, where the media just hangs on to a narrative, and obviously the narrative is always against Trump or always against conservatives, as Andrew Sullivan writes in his post, the mistakes always go in one direction. You know, people are going to make mistakes. We understand that. In this case, the mistakes always go in one direction. They go against Trump or they go against conservatives. So, I mean, I think it's a fascinating topic. And, you know, in fact, my post on Sunday morning talks about this, because I think that what happened with the Russia hoax is very much like, you know, what they call check kiting in the banking business, you know, where you make a deposit and then you write another check and you write another check and you've got this bad check basically going around and you're getting money. And then all of a sudden somebody finds out that the check is bad and the whole thing collapses. That's what happened here with the Russia hoax. Somebody from the Clinton administration went to a friendly reporter who went to another friendly reporter, and you had a year and a half, 2 years of story after story after story in the mainstream media based on sources close to the investigation. All of these stories have turned out to be false. Now, I'm not expecting big changes in the media. I'm not expecting resignations. Although the Washington Post did issue a correction today, I don't know how many others are going to issue corrections, but I do think the American people are catching on, and that's why in the very latest Gallup poll, trust in the media is at an all-time low, and it's going to get lower, even lower, as you know, these reporters misunderstand what their mission is. They're not supposed to be activists; they're supposed to be reporters. And they need to check these sources. I think that's 99% of the problem, frankly, is their sources. They keep relying on sources. And then, you know, when these sources don't know what they're talking about, I guess the reporter keeps his job. See, that's something I don't understand. Why aren't media sources, you know, punishing some of these reporters who write stories based on sources who turn out to be false? So anyway, bad, bad situation for the media. Andrew Sullivan's article, I will link to the article tomorrow so you can see the whole article in my post. But this is really a bad situation, very bad situation for the media. And they're not making a lot of friends when they do stuff like this. They're also, one more thing I'll say about it, they're losing lots of viewers. And that's the other part that you need to understand. I mean, look at CNN, look at MSNBC, they're losing viewers. I think a big reason why they're losing viewers is because of crap like this, because the country has caught on to what they're doing. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. Well, we had a very important opinion by a court on Friday, basically stopping this madness of mandates against employers with 100 employees or more. I think the court is 100% correct, And I think this is a decision that we got to leave to the companies and to the individuals. Look, I'm vaccinated, okay? I am completely vaccinated. When people come to me and they say, should I get vaccinated? I simply tell them, talk to your doctor. Talk to your doctors. Don't talk to me. You know, don't listen to a radio host or, you know, somebody on television about vaccinations. Talk to your doctor. Your doctor is the best person to talk to. But at the same time, we shouldn't be imposing these mandates because they're going to have a very difficult economic impact on our society, truck drivers, people like that. You know, we need all of them right now. And if we're going to stop denying their ability to do business because of a vaccination, then we're hurting the economy. We're hurting the economy badly. So good job by the courts in stopping this. It's not fully completely over yet. I guess the Biden administration will have a chance to appeal it. But I'm very confident that they're going to lose on this particular mandate. Well, the Biden-Harris administration, talking about collapsing, their polling data is collapsing completely. They are now down to 40%. Some polls are showing them at 38, 36. The one that I follow every day is Rasmussen, Rasmussen Reports. That's the one that I think is the best of all of these services, and they've got them at 41. But for practical purposes, there's not that big of a difference between 41 and 38. Believe me, they're both extremely, extremely bad. Well, we had a chat with our friend George Rodriguez. We had a chat with our friend George Rodriguez on Friday night, and he was telling us that there are more caravans coming to the United States. Now, where are they going to go in? I don't know. Because the governor of Texas is making it very clear that he's going to be arresting people who trespass into the United States or into Texas. So there may be a confrontation with the National Guard at the border and in the caravans, or they may just choose to go in another direction. We've heard a lot about Arizona. I don't know whether they can actually make it to New Mexico. That's very difficult terrain in that direction. But clearly, they're coming. They're coming. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens when they get to Texas, because I don't think they're coming in. I think the governor is dead serious about that. I have a post over at the American Thinker today on Saturday morning talking about gasoline prices. Gasoline prices have become the country's nightmare, and it's just beginning. And I say just beginning because we've got winter coming up in most of the north, and apparently those heating bills are going to be 30% higher. That's going to be devastating for American families in the Northeast and in the Midwest and those parts of the country where it really gets cold and you just can't, you know, here in Texas, we can get around it a little bit because it doesn't get quite as cold. I mean, there are some days when it does, but for much of the winter, you know, we can get by with a fireplace and a coat, but not so in the north. I mean, there are parts in the north that get very cold and you need heating. And if it's 35-40%, I don't know what they're going to do up there. I mean, it's just going to be madness, but it's also going to make the Biden administration even more unpopular than they are right now. Well, on this day in history, a couple of good baseball players, Mel Stottlemyre, who pitched for the Yankees, was born on this day, 1941. He died in 2010. But one of the classics, one of the great players of the old Negro Leagues, Buck O'Neill, was born on this day in 1911. He died in 2006. He became a real ambassador for baseball in his latter years. I mean, he was just a great spokesman and a wonderful human being, the kind of guy that you wish would live forever. Buck O'Neill was a star in the Negro Leagues, and then he became the manager of the Kansas City Monarchs, the greatest of all the Negro League teams, who won a bunch of pennants in their prime. So Buck O'Neill, one of my favorite people, unfortunately passed away in 2006, but he was born on this day in 1911. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you later.